This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد, my brothers and sisters, we continue with our topic of the three voices that speak to us and what to do about them. Over the last 2 weeks, I spoke about the first of them, which is the voice of Shaitan. Today we will speak about the second voice, which in a way is even more dangerous. That is the voice of our own self, our own nafs, our own desire. The word nafs is an Arabic word which occurs in the Quran, literally meaning self. And it has been translated, and it has other meanings, psyche, ego, soul, desire, the breath that we take in and out, all of these. In the context of this khutbah, and also in the context of the way this word has been used in the Quran most of the time, we will take the meaning as desire. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah said, none of you can have faith until his desires comply with what I have brought. And this is also in Imam al-Nawawi's Arba'in al-Nawawiyah, the 40 hadith. I repeat, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you can have faith until his desires comply with what I have brought. Second hadith, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu said, the son of Adam grows old, but two desires in him remain young, the desire for wealth and the desire for life. And this is in Sahih Muslim. I remind myself and you that Islam is the name of a practice, not the name of a theory or a philosophy or a theology, the name of a practice. The one who practices Islam is a Muslim, not the one who only knows about Islam but does not practice. Our eternal fate will be decided on the Day of Judgment based on what we did, not on what we knew. It is important to know, because without correct knowledge, we cannot practice Islam correctly. The purpose of acquiring knowledge is not for its own sake, but so that we can practice our religion. Practice starts with wanting to practice, and that is why the right desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so critical and so important. It is essential for us to recognize our desire and see what it is trying to lead us towards, and to correct that focus so that we can hope for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and for Jannah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah, for all of us. It is the nature of the self, the nature of nafs, to lead towards sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the words of Yusuf alayhi salam in Surah Yusuf, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم. Yusuf alayhi salam says, and I do not seek to free myself from blame. I don't say I should not be blamed, I cannot be blamed, or I am free from that. He says, I do not seek to free myself from blame, for indeed, the soul, the nafs, is ever inclined to evil. The self is ever inclined to evil, except those shown mercy by my Rabb. Jalla Jalaluhu, surely my Rabb is all-forgiving and most merciful. Anyone who thinks that this cannot happen to him must remember that this is Yusuf alayhi salam speaking. If he says this about his nafs, there is nobody living today who can say that he or she is more pious and stronger and more blessed and protected than the Nabi of Allah, Yusuf alayhi salam. If he, Yusuf alayhi salam, saw his nafs as a danger, what must we do? This is, in a way, the law of entropy. To be stronger, faster, more physically and mentally agile, to gain knowledge or skills, to have a good marriage or children. In short, to have anything of value, we need to make effort. If we do nothing, we get nothing. We just get weaker and slower and more disconnected with the world and more stupid and so on. Our nature is to digress, to slide down the slope. To be inclined towards sin doesn't mean that it is good. It is what will happen if we don't take steps to prevent it. The good news is that all of this is preventable. To prevent us from slipping, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His book and His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and commanded us to obey Him and follow Him in all aspects of life. We spoke about shaitan's deception and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that shaitan has no power over us. He can only whisper and tempt, but he cannot force us to disobey Allah. The nafs, however, is a part of us. In Ramadan, shayateen are chained, but the nafs is free. The nafs does whatever we have trained it to do. That is why childhood conditioning and raising children is so important. A child is never too young to learn. Children learn from the time they open their eyes. We fool ourselves that children don't understand. Then we are horrified at what we taught them, even if inadvertently. If we have been trained to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nafs will be inclined towards obedience. If not, it will guide us to what appeals to it, and that is sin. The nafs is the animal part of our being. That's the mammal speaking, and is drawn to what all animals are drawn towards, which is excess in physical pleasure. Gluttony, overeating, all kinds of addictions, whether it is drink or it is drugs or it is sex or whatever. The desire to have the biggest and shiniest and fastest and whatnot are all signs of the rule of the nafs. Just look at our advertising today. See who the so-called influencers, the social icons, the role models of society are. And you can see what is happening and what we are being mind-steered towards. We are a society where a pop singer or actor is paid more for a single performance than a teacher earns in an entire career in their whole lifespan. And yet, we lament how society is becoming more and more corrupt. Remember, my brothers and sisters, the truest rule of life is you only get what you pay for. You only get what you pay for. Just look at your life and you will see how true that is. The sooner we wake up to this, the sooner we will change. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to enter Islam completely, not partially. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu udkhulu fis-silmi kaffatan wa la tattabi'u khutuwati ash-shaytan innahu lakum aduwwum mubin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, O believers, enter Islam wholeheartedly and completely and do not follow shaitan's footsteps. Surely he is your sworn enemy, your clear enemy. Our problem globally is selective obedience. Selective obedience is disobedience. Selective obedience is arrogance. Somebody told me this so-called funny incident that happened to him. He was traveling I think it was Emirates or something. And there was a guy sitting next to him and they introduced themselves, so he knew that this person was a Muslim. But when the drinks cart came, this person asked for and he got alcohol and he was drinking. And then when the food came, the man is asking, is this halal? Is there some meat? He said, is it halal? Now this is what we have done. We pick and choose. Now, what is the result of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us very clearly. Allah said, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْأَذَابِ. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do you believe in some of the scripture, something from the book, and reject the rest? You pick and choose, selective obedience? Is there any reward for those who do so among you other than disgrace in this worldly life and being subjected to the harshest punishment on the day of judgment? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never unaware of what you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word jaza in a sarcastic way. Reward is punishment in this dunya and the akhirah. Reward of what? Of selective obedience, picking and choosing. Islam is a practice which, like all practices, benefits only those who follow it completely. Partial practice is not only useless but harmful. Let us wake up and take real benefit from this beautiful divine blessing called Islam. How tragic that those who were given Islam as a gift seem to have so little value for it. We pick and choose instead of benefiting from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for us. We anger Him by rejecting His gift. When we are being warned not to follow footsteps, it means that the one who made the footsteps is not present. This means that we are solely responsible for walking that path and cannot blame it on the one who we chose to follow. And that is why Shaitan will wash his hands of the responsibility of misleading those who chose to follow him and will say, كَمَثَلِ شَيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ كْفُرْ فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, like Shaitan, when he lures someone to disbelieve, then after they have done that, he will say on the day of judgment, I have absolutely nothing to do with you. إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكُمْ. I have nothing to do with you. I truly fear Allah, the Rabb of the worlds. And of course he also is lying, but meaning he doesn't fear. If he feared truly, he would not be doing what he's doing. So what do you say about those who follow him? We cannot say we didn't know. We cannot say we were not warned. Let us step back from the brink before we go over, and then nothing can stop us. And that is called istighfar and tawbah, to repent and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If not, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared His judgment for those who follow their nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Furqan, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَىٰ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Allah said, have you seen, O Prophet, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who has taken his or her own desires as their God? Have you seen those who have taken their own desires as their God? They worship their desires. Will you then be a keeper over them? Will you then make shafa'at for them? Will you then intercede for them? Will you become their advocate? What is the tone of that? It means do not do that. Don't intercede for them. Don't seek forgiveness for them. Do not be their advocate. For who? For those who have taken their desire as their God, as worshipping of desire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called following the nafs over His command, worship of the nafs, and ordered His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not to intercede for that person. This is shirk, where you are making yourself sharik. You are associating making your own desire as equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What can be a more severe warning than this, that it is time to change ourselves? The final point about the nafs is that all desires are transient, temporary and short-lived and quickly depreciate. All desires. Anything new is exciting. But the excitement wears off rapidly. For those who are grateful, it lasts a bit longer. But it is never at the first day, first show level. Just reflect on any wonderful experience that you had in life. First new car, you sit there, you breathe in, you get the smell of the upholstery and so on, right? First new car. Say the first time you fly first class. Find anything you enjoy, anything that you really, you know, loved or love. The first time you saw that, the first time you experienced that, is not the same the second time. Our enjoyment decreases. This is our nature. Our enjoyment decreases and it becomes mundane. That is why we have the term, been there, done that. And that is why the nafs seeks excess or newer experiences, more and more varied, often going off into the realm of the bizarre or even freaky. This is what is happening around us in society all over the world, which rapidly slides and rapidly seems to be sliding towards all kinds of dangerous, even disgusting things in the name of new experiences. Ask people today about their aspirations, then you get to hear statements which reflect the greed mindset. More is better. We don't take lessons from those who went before us, whose normal was a million times bigger than our wildest dream, but who still left it all behind and went alone and naked to give account to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me give you some examples. How big is your dream house? Now think about this. King Charles III, his home is Buckingham Palace. One of them. The others, Buckingham Palace. Now, Buckingham Palace has 775 rooms and is spread over 830,000 square feet. What were you thinking when you were thinking dream home? And if you think that is big, then think about this. Versailles Palace, built by Louis the 13th and extended by his son Louis the 14th in 1682, has 2,300 rooms. Yet, the hole in the ground, which is the doorway to our eternal life, to the Akhirah, is the same for everyone. And we go into it alone, without anything that we had in this life. Contentment is to realize this early enough to stop chasing excess and focus on quality, both in this life and the next. Quality is measured by its effect on others. Quality is not the most expensive diamond, but instead the use of that money. The money that you would have had to spend to have the most expensive diamond, to alleviate someone's pain, to fight oppression, to increase knowledge, to research solutions, to accomplish great projects of ongoing benefit, and to leave behind a legacy of honor. That is the meaning of quality. Islam is not against ambition. It's against greed and excess. Possessions add cost, not value. That is what the Quran and the lives of Rasulullah and the Anbiya, which Allah told us about, show us. It is not desire itself, which is natural and essential for us to survive, to have resilience, to progress, to grow, and simply to get up every day and go to work, that we are against. But the passion to accumulate material stuff or indulge in excesses of any kind, which is so harmful. The nafs is like a bottomless pit. No matter how much you put into it, it will never fill. Rasulullah ﷺ warned us about this greed. In the hadith, which is a Sahih hadith, muttafaqun alayhi, agreed upon in Bukhari and Muslim, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah ﷺ said, if the son of Adam alayhi salam had a valley full of gold, he would want to have two valleys. A valley full of gold, he would want to have two valleys. Nothing fills his mouth but the dust of the grave. May Allah protect us. Then he continues, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet Allah will relent to whoever repents to him. despite these tendencies, Allah will turn towards the person who turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by repenting. So let us wake up before we are woken up by Malakul Maut. From the stupor we call living, and the race to destruction that we call life. For those who repent and return to Allah, His forgiveness is boundless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah said, as for those who repent and believe and do good deeds, they are the ones whose evil deeds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change into good deeds. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving and all merciful and most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful, the most forgiving. The time to choose is now. Are we going to sacrifice our eternal life for the sake of this transient one? Or are we going to live this life in the beautiful way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for us, and then look forward to His reward in the Akhirah, inshallah? I remind myself and you, the choice is ours. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to make the right choice, which, as a result of which, He will be pleased with us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never to be displeased with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.